Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Hello and welcome into the Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa Hyuk. And joining me on the line today is Dr. Francesca Lorraine Lim, Senior Consultant Hematologist at the Singapore General Hospital. Hello, Dr. Lim.
Hi, Melissa.
Very warm welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, could you share more about the different types of blood cancers cases that you see in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, sure. At Singapore General Hospital, we have quite an established hematology department, which really looks at blood cancers, to put in layman's terms. And we see a whole range of blood cancers, from some that are not so aggressive and you can monitor them over several years, and some that are a little bit more aggressive, which actually require you to seek medical attention immediately and require much more aggressive treatment with chemotherapy, radiotherapy as well. So really it's an entire range, but what we see commonly in our adult patients with blood cancers are certain conditions like lymphoma, and within the lymphoma cohort, usually we see things like B-cell lymphoma, which is one of the most common lymphomas that we treat here at Singapore General Hospital.
Mm. Do we have any idea what might contribute to the higher incidence of such cancers in Singapore?
Yeah, so in general, I think we're always looking to find risk factors or whether there's any genetic predisposition to cancers in our patients. I think that's a lot of work, ongoing research work currently in cancers in general. But currently, in terms of the blood cancers, there are some that are genetically inherited, but the majority of them occur actually just spontaneously, actually, and there's no real mutation or driver mutation that you inherit from your parents that predisposes you to getting lymphomas or blood cancers, for that matter.
That's really frustrating, isn't it? Because, you know, it seems like patients or people, have little means, within their grasp, to try and prevent it.
Yes, but at the same time, most of it, that's why there's so much emphasis on obviously screening and going for regular surveillance screens when you reach a certain age, definition for cancer surveillance. So I think all that is all very important. Healthy lifestyle, stop smoking, drinking, all these things also do play a part at the end day. So I think it's really just a balance of, lifestyle changes and adjustments as well.
Mm-hmm. And if one were to be so unfortunate as to strike this terrible lottery, what are the sort of treatment options available? You mentioned just now radiotherapy, was it, and chemotherapy, etc.
Yes,
greater detail on these.
Yes, definitely. So I think the main pillars of treatment for cancers in general has always been chemotherapy, radiotherapy that patients are very familiar with, and even surgery, having the tumors removed from them. So I think these are very standard therapies that are still in existence currently. But of course, as with technology and progress in the medical field, there is now different modalities of therapies, as well known as cell therapy and immunotherapies as well. Mm. And usually they are combined and known as immunocellular therapies. And that's actually what, CAR T-cell therapy, which stands for chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy, is all about. It really is taking out patients' immune cells, genetically modifying them, and having them to express certain targets which are expressed on the cancer cells, and obviously then allowing these genetically modified cells to home in and swim towards the cancer cells and actually kill the cancer cells real time. Mm. So I think that's really a promising therapy that we have currently for lymphoma patients.
Mm. But this, you've just kind of basically told us how CAR T cell therapy worked, right?
Yes.
But how does it, how is it received by the patient? How is it administered, to the patient?
That's a great question. I mean, the reality is that CAR T cell therapy is rather complicated, and it is a form of sophisticated therapy in the sense that when I speak to patients about CAR T-cell therapy, it really has to be broken down in parts, where the first part really involves removing the immune cells from the patient's blood. And we do that through a process known as leukapheresis, where the patient needs to have a central line inserted, and the immune cells are then removed through this machine known as an apheresis machine. And the apheresis machine is quite clever because it can separate out the red cells, the platelets, and the white cells, and obviously you just want the white cells. And usually the collection just happens over a few hours and just a one-day collection, and the patient can actually go back home. And then later on, maybe 6 weeks later or 8 weeks later, they then actually come back for the CAR T infusions. So during that period of time, the 6 to 8 weeks turnaround time, that's basically where their cells are sent to the manufacturing site. And the manufacturing site then does the modification of the cells to make them into CAR T cells. And then the patient comes back to hospital and gets some, you know, conditioning chemotherapy to prepare them to receive these CAR T cell therapies back into their blood.
Okay, to rewind a little, what do you mean by central line inserted? Where is that, you know, where's
so
one poked?
Yes. Yeah, so basically it is a long line and usually it has to be inserted into one of the central veins. So usually it's within around the neck region. And so it actually sits there for a bit, for one day actually. And it's a little bit rigid, so it's a bit uncomfortable for the patient. It's a bit invasive as well. Mm. But that's really necessary because that will allow us to achieve good and healthy cells through this collection process.
Okay, and you were saying that after that, after about 2 months, right, thereabouts, the
yes.
patient has to come back for infusion. And
yes.
this infusion regime, how long does it last? How many weeks and at each time, how long does it take?
Yeah, so usually it's patients are admitted electively for the CAR T-cell therapy. So they have about 3 days of chemotherapy, gentle chemotherapy, and this chemotherapy is really just to get the patient ready, the patient's body to receive the CAR T-cell therapies. And part of it is actually to act as a bit of energy, if you like, for the CAR T-cells to actually grow out in the patient's blood. So the whole process, 3 days of chemotherapy, and then the patient rests for about 2 days, and then the CAR T-cells actually go into the patient's blood. It's almost like a blood transfusion, but even shorter. It just lasts for about probably 15 minutes at best. And then after that, that's it. You just monitor the patient, and probably within about 2 weeks or so, the patient can actually go back home. And it's a one-off therapy. It's not something that we administer repeatedly.
Okay. I've got friends who have undergone chemo and radiotherapy before, and the side effects, you know, are really, you know, quite something. You have to be really quite strong to handle it. What about this therapy? What kind of side effects can we expect?
Yeah, so the CAR T cell side effects are very different from chemotherapy. It's different in the sense that the patients don't get the profound nausea and the diarrhea and the profound weakness sometimes that you get with chemotherapy and radiotherapy. However, they do get certain unique events with CAR T-cell therapy. One of it is known as cytokine release syndrome. And what that actually means is that the CAR T-cells, when they are infused into the patient's blood, they actually recognize the cancer cells, and therefore they will swim towards those cancer cells and home in and start attacking the cancer cells and killing them real time. Mm. So yes, you can imagine, as the cancer cells are being, you know, they fight with the CAR T cells, you get a lot of dead cells that are being, that happen during this whole process, and therefore the patient's own immune system will mount a reaction to these dying cells, to this fighting mechanism that's happening between the CAR T cells and lymphoma cells, and therefore this will give rise to a constitutional symptoms where you have high fevers that can go up to 40 degrees, and the patient will feel really, you know, chilly and really rigoring right in front of you. And it really is a spectrum, not just with fever, but breathlessness. They may feel very breathless, and they might even get a bit of blood pressure abnormalities as well. And it is really graded, so it's a spectrum from grade 1 to grade 4. So anything from grade 1, grade 2, no problem. Grade 3, grade 4, it can be quite severe, and the patients actually need to be admitted to ICU for closer monitoring. So, I mean, these side effects are real, but I think what is important here to appreciate is, number one, obviously counselling the patient up front is very important. And number two, we have advanced in a lot in our understanding of CAR T-cell therapy, since that now we know how to select patients who would really benefit from this therapy, as well as reduce the risk of them getting these side effects from CAR T-cell therapy as well. I think, you know, in a way, the side effects from CAR T-cell therapy are not a walk in the park. They do sound scary, but I just want to stress that at the end of the day, there is a very robust system in place to obviously manage these patients properly and safely as well.
What about some of the other common side effects from other therapies, like loss of appetite, changes in the sense of taste and smell, and even hair loss?
Yeah, from the patients that were treated with CAR T-cell therapy, some of them have still experienced loss of taste and from the CAR T cell therapy, but I don't think it's from the CAR. I suspect that it's probably from the gentle chemotherapy that they have received. Mm. And many of them who do develop these symptoms, which are very similar to chemotherapy, seem to recover much faster compared to chemotherapy.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You talked about also the importance of the selection of the patients, right? Most suitable for this treatment, who can benefit the most. What is a typical profile or ideal profile?
So I think in a way, like you rightly said, that's an ideal profile, but there also is a approved indication, if you like. Okay. And of course, when medications go through clinical trials or very novel therapies come out into the market, a lot of times the indications for using these therapies are really in the context of patients who have failed, you know, standard of care therapy and gone on to many lines of therapies, and really it's really in a relapse refractory setting whereby patients must have seen at least two or three more lines of chemotherapy, radiotherapy or new therapy and still have active disease, and then they're allowed to have CAR T-cell therapy. So that's the indication for CAR T-cell therapy, you know, more than two lines of stem therapy. But you ask me the ideal patient, well, I'm quite inclined to say that maybe after, you know, first relapse, I mean, once you cure, you treat somebody with chemotherapy and after a few months the lymphoma comes back, I think these patients would really benefit from CAR T-cell therapy, honestly, because, you know, the disease coming back so fast after standard of care therapy, chemotherapy, you know, that's not a good sign. And hence, I think you need something more than just chemotherapy moving forward.
But why is this the second line of offense in treatment of lymphoma?
Sorry,
why is this the second line of offense? Because you're saying that, you know, you have, ideally, you should have undergone other kinds of treatments. If those didn't work, then, you know, we turn to CAR T cells. So why is it, you know, considered maybe a more aggressive form of treatment?
Yeah, so I think it's double in the sense that, number one, the clinical trials, whenever medications get approved for clinical usage, it's always in the context of the clinical trials that were conducted. And therefore, when they started the clinical trials on CAR T-cell therapy, it was really in the setting of these patients who had failed many lines of therapy, failed a stem cell transplantation, and then went on to receive CAR T-cell therapy. And they had really good response and safety profiles as well. And hence, that was then the approved indication. But of course, now there are trials showing that CAR T-cell therapy is as good as standard of care in a first relapse setting. So it's as good as a stem cell transplantation. And that is what the data shows currently. And that's where I think, you know, CAR T-cell therapy is probably moving towards, although it takes time, I think. Mm-hmm. As with all things, it takes time. I think that with our medical field, I think as a physician, and I think I speak, you know, for this from all my clinician friends as well, that I think the most important thing that we always want to ensure for all our patients is safety first. I think that's most important. What therefore, we will always look at that.
What if you had a patient who's just newly diagnosed, right, and comes to you and say, you know, I heard about this on Money FM, I heard you talking about it. I want it, you know, I want to be treated with this first. You know, I don't want to go through the pain and suffering of the other treatments. I just want to go straight to this. Would the person be allowed to do that? Is that allowed under MOH guidelines?
Yeah, so currently, unfortunately, that is not allowed under MOH guidelines. Although I mean, I would probably spend time speaking to that patient to explain why, but at the same time, and you know, understand that in the event, you know, if the disease doesn't respond as expected, then obviously this therapy becomes an option moving forward.
And this is across the board, right, for public and private sector healthcare providers. Okay, but importantly, we need to get to this success rate. What is it like?
Okay, so again, based on the trial data, obviously these patients who are really relapsed refractory, we can see about 60% of these patients going to complete remission, you know, after they have the CAR T-cell therapy. So meaning that the lymphoma actually gets better and continues to improve. However, as the duration, you know, goes on and they followed up all these patients long-term, only about 40% of these patients will remain in remission and be cured of their lymphoma. So therefore, you still have about 20-30% of patients still relapsing post-CAR T-cell therapy as well.
But when we talk about relapse, what's the gap between, you know, completing the treatment and having that relapse?
Yeah, so that's a very good question as well. So, I mean, at this point of time, it's variable, and we tend to group them into two categories. One are the early relapses, whereby we may actually see the lymphoma coming back within 6 months of CAR T-cell therapy, and obviously those that are late relapses, which may be after a year. Mm. And the mechanism, I think, of the relapse is very important because this is a form of targeted therapy where these CAR T cells are modified to attack a certain marker on the lymphoma cells. It's important to understand whether these lymphoma cells are still expressing that marker and therefore still allowing you to use CAR T cells to target them, or whether at the end of the day the lymphoma cells have become so clever that they're just mutated and they don't express that marker on their surface anymore, and therefore deeming your CAR T cells irrelevant completely in that kind of setting.
Okay, from what you're saying, it sounds like we're far from having a cure. I mean, it's an improvement, right? But it's not a cure for cancer.
I think the patients who have benefited from CAR T cell therapy, in a way, the longest survivor that they have has been now, 10 years of CAR T cell therapy. So I think definitely we are looking at curative intent and curative promises with CAR T cell therapy, but you're right, it's not 100% cohort. And hence, again, coming back to the first point, is that not only are you selecting patients who would benefit in terms of the safety aspect of your CAR, but you're also selecting patients who would really benefit from being cured from CAR T cell therapy. And we're not there yet, you know, but there is a reality that, you know, this can become a reality soon, I think.
Now, I read in the press, actually, I don't know if you remember this 5-year-old Malaysian boy. He was suffering from leukemia in Singapore and he got a donation. But that's not the main part, right? The main point was, I remember reading in the article that he had undergone CAR T cell therapy. So does that mean that this therapy is actually applicable for children?
Yeah, so the reality is that I think ever since they understanding how CAR T cell therapy works, understanding that you can target cancer cells, obviously now there's a big buzz in the research world to try and find other markers that you can target. So it's not just a CD19, which is basically the commercially available CAR that we have in Singapore, but people are targeting other targets like CD7, CD5, CD30. So these are just tumor targets that you can modify the immune cells to fight again. And hence, therefore, coming back to your first point, in the sense that if your disease, your starting disease, be it a leukemia or lymphoma, expresses a lot of these abnormal markers on its surface, then again, CAR T cell therapy becomes a very promising therapy for them as well. So hence, yes, it can be used across the board from leukemias to lymphomas and probably even solid cancers in the near future.
Okay, so we're looking at potential uses of it beyond blood cancers, right?
Definitely, yes, of course.
Maybe one final question on this. Is there hope for CAR T technology to be translated into treatments for, Alzheimer's or multiple sclerosis and other medical conditions? I know I'm putting a bit like the cart before the horse, right? Because you're talking about it, we're not even sure about other cancers yet, but I'm wondering, is there a light at the end of the tunnel for other patients as well, besides those of cancer?
Yes. I mean, honestly, to answer that question, my answer would be yes, there is. Maybe not necessary in the diseases that you've mentioned currently, but I think there is a lot of understanding that the immune system is very, very important in every disease. And it's really trying to harness the immune system to try to either treat these non-cancer diseases, as well as maybe attempt to regenerate, certain cells in the body, which could obviously help in, patients with cancers or non-cancers as well. So I think the reality is that the technology is moving towards cell therapy in general, both for cancers and non-cancers. And it's really not just, the immune white cells, but all the cells in the body, and trying to harness the potential of each and every one of these cells that our body actually possesses for clinical use at the end day and translational into therapy to save our patients.
It's been great speaking to you, Dr. Francesca Long.
Thank you so much.
Your patience explaining everything to me. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Francesca Lorraine Lim, Senior Consultant Hematologist at the Singapore General Hospital, talking to us there about a new therapy called the CAR T cell therapy. I'm Melissa here for the Workday Afternoon, and you are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.